Welcome to this one-shot episode of the Film Rescue Show. It's just going to be me this time. it's just going to be me because we are off-season at the moment, but we needed to fill time, and I was going back through some episodes, and I recently rewatched or re-listened to the Batman v Superman episode, and I realized that my sound was bad. I realized my sound was not very good, and I think that was because my audio was not running properly through my headphones. So I decided that in the sake of sparing everybody from listening to exactly the same problems but redoing the same episode, I should just do the pitch. Because the pitch is very extensive. It's about 10 pages long. It's basically a sequel to the Man of Steel pitch that I did back in January. So there's not really a reason to go back and go through all of my complaints again. Like, if you can suffer through the bad audio, then, you know, you can still enjoy the episode. But I think for the sake of brevity, I would just do the pitch once again. I'm pretty proud of this. Did quite a bit of research on this. I read many books regarding Superman and just DC Comics in general. I also realized that the reason that this version of Superman feels so distant and right-wing most of the time is because it's pulling a lot from the John Byrne run from the 1970s and 80s, and John Byrne is very Republican. So that basically explains everything. So it explains why Zack Snyder gravitated towards him so much for his interpretation of the character. So, and now we're getting a Snyder cut. We're getting a Snyder Cut before we get a Dread sequel. There is no justice in this world. So I'm just going to go through the pitch once again from cover to last page because, you know, honestly, I think that this is a good pitch. I think it's well done. The Snyder Cut is on the chopping block for next season because we're kind of obligated to do that. But I don't think that I don't think we're going to really have much to say beyond, hey, it's exactly what you expected it to be. Because I think at this point the bar is so low that there's not much you can really do to save it. So I'm just going to go ahead and start off with the pitch. So here we go. This is my version of Batman v Superman, which is a sequel to my Man of Steel pitch from January. If you have not listened to that, go back, listen to that episode, and then come back to this. So here we go. Batman v Superman. We open on a child's face, reminiscent of the opening of my Man of Steel pitch. The child is plugged into a ship and heading through a wormhole back to Krypton. He arrives and sees it destroyed. With no other options, the boy pilots the ship into a wormhole and emerges near Earth. He documents the planet from orbit but loses control of the ship due to equipment failure. The child has green skin. The ship crash lands on Earth in the mountains. Days pass until an excavation crew finds the ship, digs it out, and loads it into a truck. The logo on the truck says LexCorp. We then cut into a hospital room that glows green with kryptonite surrounding the child. We see from the child's perspective a man with sinister eyes standing next to him. He has a face mask on, but from his voice, we know who it is. It is Lex Luthor. He says, "You're a very privileged child, you know that? You don't know now, but you will be our salvation. You're going to save us. From him." The child leans his head up and sees a large photograph of Superman floating high in the sky on a television monitor. Lex pulls up a circular saw emblazoned with kryptonite teeth. The blade spins. The child screams. We see from the child's vision once again. Above Lex, we see a large, glowing cube floating and shifting its shape. It is a mother box. Cut to black. Title, Batman v Superman. Dawn of Justice will be excised from the title because it's too long and it's really fucking stupid. And it's too early to build the Justice League at this point in the universe. This is only film 2 of the DCEU. Why would you continue to push the Justice League at this point? Anyways, we cut back in and we see Clark Kent moving through the street, headed to work. Everything seems fine. He's happy. He walks past the statue of Superman, takes a glance, and moves on. He goes about his day, filing papers, editing articles, etc. Lois smirks at him from time to time. Clark, using his super hearing, hears a person on a cell phone somewhere in the building pleading with their daughter on the phone. The daughter is about to commit suicide. Clark rushes to the roof, changes into his suit, and tracks down where the daughter is. She is on the edge of a rooftop about to jump. Superman lands behind her as quietly as she throws her phone over the edge and cries. Before she can jump, Clark says, "Your mom was held up at work. She was coming to see you. I could hear her. I still can." She turns and looks at him. She breaks down. Superman hugs her and says, "I know it hurts now, but you're stronger than you know. Believe me." Superman picks her up and flies her to a hospital. He smiles as he rises into the sky. He says, "I'm always around if you need a friend." He flies away. She smiles and waves as he leaves. The doctors escort her into the building as Superman disappears behind buildings. Superman, or Clark, heads back to work, changes again, and gets back to his work desk. After work, he heads to a soup kitchen in the lower end of Metropolis where he volunteers a few hours a week. While there, he sees on the news on his phone that there was a mass shooting on the opposite side of the city that he didn't know about. 7 people were killed, including the gunman. He looks at the time of when it happened. It was around the same time he was rescuing the girl from the rooftop. He realizes he saved one life just to trade it for 7. The following day, Lex Luthor speaks to the press, declaring the incident a national tragedy, and scolds not just the police force, but also Superman. Quote, "If he is so powerful, why did he allow this horrible tragedy to occur? But not all hope is lost. In the coming days, I will be unveiling a new plan to protect not just our city, but the whole world, and prevent such an obscene event such as this from ever happening again." Unquote. Clark and Lois are tasked by Perry White to interview Luthor about what he has planned. Lois and Clark have lunch together that afternoon. Clark is visibly upset. Lois tells him he can't be everywhere at once. Clark says, "I'm never fast enough," referencing the death of his father from the previous film. A few days later, Luthor holds a press conference during the National Science and Technology Show at the Metropolis Convention Center. During the show, he says, "The ENIAC was the first computer to be created by mankind, capable of simple computations. Since its development, we have integrated technology into all of our homes, from laptops to cell phones and even our vacuum cleaners. But eventually, science needs to take a massive leap forward. And that leap is, of course, artificial intelligence. We started with the ENIAC. Now I present to you Brainiac." A curtain drops, revealing a large robotic spidery machine with a human head made of metal. It is Brainiac. Obviously, it is different from the books, but for the purposes of the film, this is what we are going to go with. Luthor states that Brainiac is the central hub of a worldwide neural network, hooked to sentry drones that can be placed in every city across the planet. How can we truly trust Superman, or even the Kryptonians now living on Mars, which they took without asking, to not betray us and attack again? Brainiac can be here 24/7, always available, always on call. And the co-sponsor and co-financier of this project is here with me today. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Wayne. My version of Bruce Wayne is in his mid-50s, a bit more grizzled, lots of mileage on him. Bruce walks out onto stage, smiles, shakes Lex Luthor's hand, and states that Luthor's project could be the very thing to bring peace and order to all mankind. For casting, I chose John Hamm as my version of Batman. No more Kryptonians in Metropolis, and... excuse me. No more Kryptonians in Metropolis, and no more crazy clowns in Gotham, Bruce says. The audience applauds, and the two begin to walk off stage. Lex leaves the stage and turns back and says, "And one more thing. I forgot to mention, it's completely free. Our gift to humanity is your safety. Thank you." They walk off. Clark and Lois meet with Luthor and Bruce immediately after the presentation. They talk, discussing the political implications of instilling an Orwellian New World Order across planet Earth. Luthor states that Brainiac is directly under the control of LexCorp in partnership with the DoD and several other national security agencies. A planet-wide network won't occur until trial runs of 3 months. Clark speaks to Bruce, stating that it seemed odd that Wayne Enterprises would so willingly back such a high-risk investment. Bruce says that he felt the world needed a little charity. Clark asks, how is instilling Sentry drones in any different from vigilante tactics used by people such as Superman or Batman, especially since Superman has used his powers to help humanity while Batman has been known to instill brutality to maintain order? Bruce says, kid, grow up. And he walks away. After the conference, Clark is in a bit of shock. Lois asks Clark if he's okay. Clark walks off, leaving Lois alone. That night, Superman goes out for his nightly patrol. He flies between buildings casually, but absent-mindedly. His mind is elsewhere. Once Brainiac is installed, he will no longer be needed. Suddenly, a Sentry drone flies past him. He gives chase and follows it to where another shooting is in progress. Sentries have surrounded a gunman who has a hostage. They are demanding, using the voice of Brainiac, that he put his weapon down and surrender. Superman lands behind the sentries and walks past them. They demand that he leave the area immediately or he will be held accountable for interfering with a hostage situation. Superman speaks directly to the gunman. He wants to know what he wants, why he is doing what he is doing. He tries to talk the man down, but he is clearly out of his mind. The sentries arm their weapons. Superman screams for them to stop. In all the chaos and confusion, a batarang flies between everyone and impales the gunman's hand. He drops the gun. The hostage escapes, running to one of the drones, not Superman. Batman walks into the light, past one of the drones. The gunman tries to run. Batman fires a grappling hook, which pierces the gunman's shoulder and drags him back to him. Batman curb stomps him, knocking out his teeth. Superman intervenes and says, "That's enough!" Batman informs the drones that the police have been notified. The drones confirm the information and fly off into the night. Batman ties up the gunman and walks away. Superman follows. Clark, using his X-ray vision, says, "Bruce Wayne?" Batman freezes, turns around. Clark says, "I can see it's you. I have X-ray vision, you know." Bruce squints hard and says, "Clark Kent?" Superman freezes. Batman walks up to Superman, makes two circles with his fingers like glasses, puts them in front of Superman's face. He says, "Yep, Kent. Somehow I'm not shocked." Bruce was apparently in town to watch the Sentry drones on their first trial run. Superman's interference disrupted it. The two of them begin a massive argument about the Sentry drones, power, responsibility, the Kryptonian invasion, Brainiac, and of course, Batman's tactics. Bruce says, "When you lose everything, let me know if you want to be When you lose everything, let me know if you want to still be calm and collected. I'm not a hard man to find. Oh, and since we know each other's secrets now, let's call this a draw. You stay out of my way, I'll stay out of yours." Superman says, "Then why don't you start by getting out of my town?" Bruce responds, "It won't be your town much longer." Bruce calls in the Batwing. It hovers overhead. He grapples up to it and flies off. Clark, disillusioned, not knowing what else to do, flies home to Kansas. He sits on the porch and listens to the quiet of the night. It is wonderful and haunting at the same time. Kay, from the previous film, notices Clark outside on the porch. He floats outside and joins him. Martha eventually hears them talking and steps outside to chat. Clark says, "Is it even worth me trying to help anyone anymore? It seems like the harder I try, the worse it will get." Martha says, "It's up to you, Clark. I can't tell you what to do. Be their savior, be their hero, or whatever. Or just be you. You can't save everyone, but that doesn't mean you should just quit." Kay says, "I know Jor-El wouldn't quit." Clark hugs his mom. Kay tries to join the hug, but then says, "I have no arms. This is horrible." Meanwhile, back in Gotham, which is over 300 miles away, not across the fucking river, the Batwing descends into the Batcave behind Wayne Manor. The Batcave is reminiscent of the Tim Burton version, where it's an actual cave, not a cheap fucking warehouse. Batman steps out, takes off his armor, and heads over to his work desk, which is covered with computer monitors tracking the progress of the drones. And by the way, Lex does not know Bruce is actually Batman. Let's make that clear. Bruce sits, leans back, and looks at a photo of his parents. He says, "Hey, Dad, I'm almost ready to retire." We get a small sequence of Bruce popping pain pills, drinking wine, and showering, revealing all the bruises and scars of his rough life. As he steps out of the shower, the phone rings. Bruce says, "Can you get that, Alfred?" "Alfred." No answer. He says, "Oh, right." Implying Alfred is long since dead. Bruce is alone in that house. He walks over and answers the phone himself. It's Lex. Bruce asks if Lex ever sleeps. Lex says, "There's too much work to be done for my mind to rest." They talk about how the drones were mostly successful except for Superman and Batman interfering in one case. Bruce says every experiment has an outlier. After a few more trials, there shouldn't be a problem. They say goodnight to each other. Lex hangs up his phone and goes back to work in his lab. He is there alone with Brainiac. Brainiac is in stasis, its legs patched into the wall like a spider in his web. There's the obvious visual metaphor of Brainiac, a spider-like being, as the central hub of a neural web for all the sentry drones across the world. It's blunt, but it would look cool. Lex says, "I suppose this is what it feels like to have a child. Then again, you're not really human. Not one of us. But that doesn't mean you won't be great." Brainiac, in order to speak, is reminiscent of Kane in RoboCop 2. The face opens up to a computer screen where a simulation of the child's face is the only method of communication. The child is clearly a slave to Lex but can't help but comply. Lex smiles. The next day, Congress begins an investigation into the actual legality of using sentry drones on American soil. This is the rescuing sequence from BVS, but instead of questioning if Superman should be around, the question of should the drones and Brainiac be around is more pertinent. We get various political ideologies and political arguments. Eventually, an emergency hearing is called for Congress. Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne are being called in to defend the legality and justification of Brainiac. As an opposition point, several congressmen and women request Superman be invited to defend his own political stance using his methods of aid. Lois and Clark are sent to Washington, D.C. for the Daily Planet as reporters for the event. Jimmy Olsen tags along for photos. Obviously, Lois will cover for Clark when he is called in to testify. Bruce and Clark meet briefly outside the congressional chamber. Bruce leans in, shakes Clark's hand, and whispers, "I'm gonna wipe the floor with you." Clark responds, "You don't need to lean in, I can hear you just fine." Bruce scowls and goes inside. After everyone has sat down, Clark, now in his Superman suit, enters. He sits across the aisle from Bruce and Lex. Bruce and Superman glare at each other but say nothing. The entire congressional hearing revolves around Lex making the case that they don't know if the Kryptonians will attack again. They should be paranoid. Superman could snap and destroy everything if he wanted to. Superman declares he would never do such a thing. Lex argues, what if Superman came under mind control or mental illness? How could he be trusted to control his powers? And does Superman actually know if the Kryptonians will keep their peace treaty? When pressed about these questions, Clark says he doesn't know. The hearing ends. Bruce and Lex clearly made their case and won. The following week, the vote is almost a landslide. Lex's Brainiac program will go nationwide in a few months. After work one day, when Clark is heading to his volunteer job at the soup kitchen, he finds the building shut down. The city had to shift part of its budget to help support Lex's Brainiac program. Turns out it wasn't really free after all. Clark, enraged, heads to Wayne Manor. He uses his X-ray vision to find the Batcave. Clark enters and finds Bruce sitting quietly at his desk, watching the monitors. Sentries are being prepped at LexCorp to head out for the night. Clark scolds Bruce. "Are you happy now? You got what you wanted. At the expense of everything, you got what you wanted." Bruce says nothing. "Nothing to say? Fine. You want me gone? I'm gone. You think you saved the world, but you just made it worse. Peace at gunpoint isn't peace." As Clark is walking away, Bruce flings a batarang past Clark's head, and he gets impaled into a stalactite. He turns in his chair, gets up, and walks over to Clark. "Now you listen to me, you spoiled little shit. I have been doing this job for 30 years, and then some kid from the City of Tomorrow wants to come in here and tell me what peace is all about? I don't have time for this bullshit." "What do you have time for then, Bruce? If it's so bad out there, then do something about it. But manipulating and controlling people, this 1984 shit, isn't the way." Bruce snaps and kicks over his chair. What is the way then, huh? What is the way to make it stop? If you're such a genius and so seasoned in how the world works, then you tell me. How do you want to save everyone? Clark says nothing. Bruce says, yeah, that's what I thought. Bruce starts to walk away. Clark says, you're so high and mighty in your mansion with your big bank account and sports cars. What the hell do you really know about the world? What do you know about loss? Bruce snaps, turns around, and punches Clark in the face. Clark reels back and drops to his knees. He's bleeding. He's vulnerable, but how? He looks up at Bruce, who is fuming. Bruce says, did you really think I wasn't prepared if you came down here? He presses a button on a remote control, which pumps in kryptonite gas into the chamber. Clark didn't realize the room was toxic when he entered. He's human now. Clark, enraged, lunges at Bruce. And thus begins the fight, the actual fight of Batman versus Superman. Just two guys beating the shit out of each other. No suits, no powers, just ideological differences. It's an actual emotional conflict. They beat the shit out of each other, but Batman eventually overpowers Clark. He kicks Clark in the stomach several times. Stay down, he yells. Clark looks up to Bruce. Bruce says, remember this moment. Out of everyone, on every planet, everywhere, I'm the one that beat you. Now get the fuck out of my house. And while you're at it, out of my city. You've lost all your Gotham privileges. And yes, this will be an R-rated film. Clark leaves the house. Bruce sits at his desk. The adrenaline running through his veins makes his hands shake. Not knowing what else to do, he descends to the lowest level of the Batcave. He opens a vault. He opens a vault door, and inside is a casket. It belongs to Robin. It is vacuum sealed, so Robin looks exactly as he did when he was embalmed. There's a fold-up chair leaning against the wall. Bruce sits down. Bruce unfolds it and sits down. We get one shot, about 20 to 30 second shot, of Bruce just sitting and staring at the casket. By the end of that 20 to 30 seconds, he starts to cry. We then begin a flashback sequence showing Batman and Robin's final mission together to take down the Joker. They infiltrate Ace Chemicals, but Robin gets captured. Batman watches as Robin is tortured and then killed by the Joker. Batman eventually outsmarts the Joker and ties him up. Bruce finally snaps and tortures him. The Joker laughs the whole time. At the end, the Joker says, "Oh, Bruce, it's a shame we'll never do this again." The Joker knew he was Bruce Wayne the whole time, but telling everyone would spoil his fun. Batman pulls out a batarang and rams it right through the Joker's head, killing him. He leans in and says, "Maybe you won't, but I will. Burn in hell, you piece of shit." Batman carries Robin's body out of Ace Chemicals as the entire place goes up in flames. We then get a montage sequence of Batman murdering major villains of his rogues gallery, such as the Penguin, Bane, Two-Face, etc. By the end, Batman stares at his hands. They are covered in blood. Hard cut to Bruce staring at his own hands covered in Superman's blood. He looks at the casket once again and says nothing. Clark goes into work the following day, beaten and battered. Everyone stares at him. Lois is especially worried. Clark says it doesn't matter. He doesn't want to talk about it. Time passes as we see Clark try to do his job as Superman but is impeded by the Sentry drones. We also see that the drones have a zero-tolerance policy, using lethal force similar to Batman's tactics. Eventually, in a fit of rage, Superman attempts to destroy one of the drones. The drone was attempting to extinguish a fire instead of escorting civilians from a burning factory. So this is the factory that was burning in the current film of BVS, but we're moving it to here. The drone apparently gauges the value of human life versus the overall environmental damage and the cost to the taxpayer. He tries punching it, but can't penetrate its armor. He is powerless. He's also confused by that. The drone sees him as a threat now. Superman backs off and takes it out from a distance using his heat vision. He decapitates its limbs, and upon opening the chest, sees that it is powered by odd technology and kryptonite. Superman realizes that there's something that Lex has been keeping secret. Clark heads to see Lois and tells her what he saw. She agrees to help him get the truth. Clark very quickly grabs her phone, races back to the factory, snaps a photo, and heads back to her apartment. She now has evidence. So. The next day, We see Clark heads into work. Excuse me. The next day, when Clark heads into work, he tries to find Lois to work out a plan on how to approach the situation. She isn't there. Jimmy Olsen says that she arranged a private meeting with Lex Luthor to discuss something. Clark runs out and heads to LexCorp. He heads inside and tries to find Lois. The front desk says that she is in a meeting with Lex Luthor. He says he needs to meet with her immediately. He is escorted upstairs to Lex's office, where Lex and Lois are talking. Lex, to prove his benevolent intentions, invites the two of them to the sub-basement where Brainiac is stored. They head downstairs and are then escorted onto a trolley that drives them to the outskirts of the city. Clark can see the city moving overhead with his X-ray vision. Once at the underground facility, Lex escorts them through the halls of R&D. Clark notices in one of the rooms some kind of power suit that is being built. Obviously, the Lexorin armor from the comics. Lex says that's one of his pet projects, pay no attention. Finally, they reach Brainiac. They interact, and Clark is immediately beginning to feel the effects of something alien nearby. He uses his vision and sees a large, glowing cube underneath Brainiac in some kind of spherical holding chamber. Lex says that the system will be fully operational by the end of the week. Excuse me. It will be fully operational later in the week when it goes nationwide. Clark breaks in on the conversation and asks Lex, "Would you mind telling me about the alien technology you have installed into your sentry drones? Isn't your program based upon human technology advancements and not alien? How are we sure Brainiac is not of alien origin?" Lex pauses, stares at Clark, and says, "The filth of Krypton should never have set foot on this planet. Did you know that I was developing the first colonization program for Mars? That's right. I was going to lead us into a new era of space travel, and then that thing took that from me. Took that from us. Humanity will now always be second best, thanks to him. Why should we not be wary of them? Why should we not want to be protected at all costs?" Clark says, "You didn't answer my question." Lex says, "You're beginning to irritate me, Mr. Kent." He abruptly ends the conversation and has them escorted topside. As they are leaving, Clark uses his powers of hearing and sight to see if he can find any clues as to what Lex is doing. He sees plans for Lex to eventually use the Sentry Defense System and Brainiac to launch a full-scale assault on the Kryptonians on Mars. Lex is planning genocide under the guise of global security. They are brought into a warehouse in the country and are driven back to the city. Lex stares at Brainiac. Brainiac says, "Am I filth?" Lex says, "I am cleansing you of that filth." Brainiac is becoming confused. He is realizing he is Kryptonian, but Kryptonians are filth. He is beginning to suffer cognitive dissonance. Lex leaves the room and calls his security team. He says that Clark and Lois must not return to the city. His security forces find the car, bringing Lois and Clark back to the city. The car pulls out in front of them, and the two are forced out into the woods. Clark says everything will be okay. He now has to decide what to do. If he flies away with Lois, they will know he is Superman. If he doesn't, Lois will die, and he will survive, and they will know he is Superman. He does the only thing he can do. Superman kills the entire security team that was trying to kill him and Lois. He chokes one of them and says, "I'm sorry," as the man dies. Clark then notices that one of the security guys shot Lois in the back. She is bleeding out and needs a hospital as soon as possible. Clark then picks her up, and they head back to the city. Once they get back to the city, he discreetly lands in an alleyway and then carries her into a hospital. She is taken to the emergency room for surgery. Clark takes her phone as he hands her off. So, if you want to justify Superman killing, that's the way you justify it. Clark waits for hours to hear if she will survive. Eventually, the doctor says that she survived the surgery but might be paralyzed from the waist down. He asks to see her. He sits next to her and says, "I'll get him. I swear I will." Lex learns that his security team was killed in the woods. He realizes that the only way that is possible is if Clark was either very lucky or superhuman. He assumes the obvious. Clark Kent is Superman. Which also means Clark knows everything about his operation. Clark heads to see Bruce. Bruce is in his gym working out. So we have the workout scene. He is in shape, but the years and damage have taken their toll. Clark tells him everything and even shows him the evidence on Lois's phone. Bruce says, "Why come to me? How am I supposed to help you?" Clark says that he can't shut down the system and expose Lex alone. He can't fight the sentries because of the kryptonite, and that Bruce is the closest one to Lex. They need to work together. Clark also tells him that he killed some men that afternoon. He tells Bruce that he will kill Lex the moment he gets his hands on him. Bruce says, "You really want to be like me?" That hits home for Clark. Bruce is an old man alone in his old age. It immediately dissuades Clark from wanting to take another life. Bruce agrees to team up, and they will meet up at the back entrance in the countryside outside Metropolis. Bruce believes that if he is going to go out, it may as well be for something worthwhile. Now begins a montage sequence of the two men getting prepared and getting their suits on. Considering the circumstances, we can keep the Dark Knight Returns metal suit. It's appropriate for the upcoming fight. Song choice here is the cover version of Behind Blue Eyes by Noah Hawley and Jeff Russo from the show Legion. Clark looks at a picture of Lois on his phone. Bruce heads downstairs and sees Robin's casket. He gently touches it, essentially saying goodbye. He returns and heads to the Batwing. He launches into the sky. Superman launches into the sky as well. The two meet up in midair and fly together towards Metropolis. Lex's security drones get sight of Superman and Batman headed towards the facility. He initiates all his security forces and releases Brainiac from his holding chamber. He says that the Kryptonian is on the way to the facility. He must be stopped. Brainiac unplugs from the wall and, like a daddy long-legged spider, makes his way upstairs to the rear entrance. Over 20 security drones are following behind him. They land together outside the facility. They make their way up to the entrance. Up above them, Brainiac hides in the rafters of the warehouse. It leaps down and blocks the entrance. It says, "Kryptonian filth." The sentries encircle them. Batman and Superman, back-to-back, begin an awesome fight. Batman uses his tech. Superman, when he can, uses his powers. Eventually, they are getting tired, though. More drones start to arrive. They are backed up to the elevator doors. Superman pries them open and says to follow him. Batman says, "Go on, kid, I got this. You take care of Lex." Clark says, "No, we do this together." Bruce grabs Superman and says, "You still got so much to learn, kid." And he shoves him down into the elevator shaft. Superman catches himself mid-flight and looks up to the open doors. Batman plants an explosive charge on the top of the elevator and quickly says, "Go, kid, shut him down." He rolls away just as the bomb goes off. Superman yells out, "Bruce!" The elevator shaft is sealed shut. Superman descends into the bowels of the facility. Up top, Bruce regains his footing. An onslaught of drones and Brainiac stand before him 20 yards away. Brainiac says, "You are not Kryptonian filth, yet you fight for Kryptonian filth. Query, who do you think you are?" "Who am I?" Bruce extends massive claws from his bat suit like Wolverine and says, "I'm the goddamn Batman. Come on!" He rushes forward into a volley of gunfire, ready to die. He jumps and slashes, chopping a sentry in half. Down in the bowels of the facility, Superman punches his way into the circular room and sees the mother box suspended in the center of the room. He steps forward and is then shot in the back by a plasma weapon, Kryptonian. He turns around and sees Lex Luthor in his kryptonite-powered armor. "You shot me in the back? I haven't irritated you too badly, have I?" "Clark fucking Kent. I never would have guessed it." "Yeah, well, nobody else does either." The two men stare each other down. "I know the secret about Brainiac, the drones, this thing behind me. And the rest of the world is going to know it too. Because they deserve to." "Do you really believe that?" "I do." "And you're willing to die for that belief?" "I am." Superman then fires heat vision at Lex, who ducks and hides. "Of course, I don't plan to die today," Superman says. Superman keeps trying to pull the mother box from its holding chamber, but is stopped by Luthor. They fight on even terms, like the Superman-Zod fight from the previous film. We cut back and forth between Superman fighting Lex and Brainiac fighting Batman. Batman realizes that there is a weak point on Brainiac at the back of his skull in a small hatch. Batman will need to jump onto Brainiac's body and pull out Brainiac's brain. Meanwhile, downstairs, Lex pins Superman against the wall and says, "I don't get it, Kent. Who the hell do you even fight for?" Superman screams out, "Everyone!" Superman breaks free and the fight continues. Up top, Batman hides in the rafters and uses his heat and hides his heat signature with his bat tech. He takes out the drones quickly and quietly, one by one, till only Brainiac is left. He finally jumps onto Brainiac's back, punches into the skull of Brainiac, and tears out part of the central nervous system. The spider collapses, but is still alive, screaming and confused, spouting inane dialogue. Bruce raises the central nervous system over his head and says, "Your city, my world." Then crushes it on the concrete. Brainiac tries to get back up, but can only move two of his legs. Brainiac is still alive, so more drones will eventually arrive. Bruce rolls over, exhausted. He says, "I hope you're doing your part down there, kid." Hard cut to Superman, his face bloody and beaten. Lex is winning. Lex picks up Superman, extends the sword from his gauntlets, and impales Superman to the wall. The blade snaps off. Lex steps away and admires his victory. He says, "Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair." "You're just the first, Kent. Your whole fucking race is gonna burn." He extends a second sword from his opposite gauntlet. "You ready? Here it comes." Lex lunges forward quickly, but at the last second, Superman uses the last of his strength to pull himself forward off the sword, fly out of the way, and shove Lex onto his own sword. He impales himself. Superman lands and says, clutching his gut, "Lex, I could see that coming a mile away." He then reaches back into Lex's suit, reaches into the back of Lex's suit, and with all his might, pulls out the shard of kryptonite, powering it. It burns like acid, but he wrenches it out and throws it across the room. He pulls Lex off the sword, and he falls to the floor, powerless and trapped in his suit. He uses his heat vision to seal Lex's wound. Superman then pulls the mother box free, and the whole facility powers down. Up top, Brainiac finally shuts down, and all the drones collapse, and those that were on the way to the facility drop from the sky and crash harmlessly in the countryside. Lex says, "I was going to save the world." Clark says, "Lex, if you wanted to save the world, you would have done it years ago." Superman then carries Lex and the mother box up to the surface and punches his way out of the air shaft, or out of the elevator shaft. Batman is waiting for them. Superman tosses Lex off across the ground. Batman pulls out a batarang, ready to kill Lex. Superman stops him. "It's over. We have what we need on him. He'll go to prison forever. He'll suffer for this." Bruce is really thinking about it, but relents. Lex starts laughing. Lex says, "You know I'll walk." Bruce puts away his batarang and says, "You'll walk with a limp." And then Bruce crushes Lex's right leg. Lex screams. A few days later, Bruce sits in a bar drinking whiskey alone. The news is shown on is showing footage of LexCorp being shut down and employees arrested. Lex is shown being escorted to holding facilities to await trial. Clark walks in. "This seat taken?" he says. "Is it empty?" Bruce responds. Clark sits down. They watch the news together. "Think he's right? Do you think he's going to get off?" Bruce says, "It's possible. He could use an insanity plea. He's got more money than God." "What about you? How do you distance yourself from him?" "Yeah, the whole thing wasn't my idea. I just gave him the money. I have no interest in politics." "Huh. Then you should be a politician." "Cute," Bruce says. Clark orders a drink. "There is one thing we did do to hurt Lex permanently, though." "Really? What's that?" "Damaged his pride." "Now that I will drink to," Bruce says, and they toast. Clark then says, "You know, we make a pretty good team. Don't push it, kid." They go silent for a bit. Clark stares into his drink. "So, tell me one thing. You had the chance to kill Lex back there, but you didn't. Why not? Like I could have stopped you? Why didn't you do it?" Bruce says nothing. He pays for his drink and then says, See you around, kid. As Bruce leaves, Clark says, I'm always around. Suddenly, on the TV, we hear Lex scream out, I know who Superman is! Clark Kent is Superman! A picture of Clark comes up on the TV. The bartender looks at Clark. Clark just looks at him and puts his hands up like a criminal. He smiles and says, You got me. The bartender pours another drink and says, On the house. Thanks, Clark says. No one seems to care. He quietly sips his drink. We then see a montage of Lex being arraigned for court. Lois is in the hospital learning to walk again with Clark next to her. The Mother Box and Brainiac being taken in by the newly formed Department of Metahuman Affairs, which can give you a lead-in for Suicide Squad. Clark signs a few autographs for people in the streets and says hello to everybody that he meets. Clark then gets a call on his phone from Bruce telling him to go to a certain address. Cut to the soup kitchen he used to work at, now reopened. It looks brand new, totally remodeled. He walks in and sees a letter on the table. He opens it and it reads, I know a lot about Lost too. Clark smiles. We cut to Bruce at Wayne Manor. He finally buries Robin's casket next to the graves of Alfred and his parents. We see the graves of several other members of the Bat family as well. He taps Dick Grayson's headstone and says, You did good, kid. And walks away, that chapter of his life now finally resolved. He finally smiles as he walks back inside. Cut to Batman on a rooftop with the Batwing in the afternoon. He leans against the fuselage. Superman finally arrives. Batman says, Faster than a speeding bullet, huh? I got held up, sorry. Any idea on what the box is? No leads on what it is, but got some idea where it's from. Which is space. That doesn't narrow it down, Bruce. Deep space, and I'm pretty sure there's more of them. Well, how many more? From what I've dug up, according to what I can find at least, there's three total, but I only have a lead on one other one. Here's a photo. Deep sea diving expedition, Atlantic Ocean. They caught a glimpse of something down there. Look like anything you recognize? Clark looks at the photo and sees what looks like a second mother box being guarded by a fuzzy-looking image of a large man with a trident. Clark says, I can look into it. Good, Bruce says. He extends his hand. Clark reaches out, and they shake hands. Bruce gets into the Batwing. As he gets in, he says, You're right. Clark looks back. We make a pretty good team. Clark smirks and says, Don't push it, old man. Superman flies off. Batman follows behind him. The two men fly side by side, wave goodbye to each other, separate, and fly off home. Roll credits! Mid-credit scene. Mars. John Jones falls into frame, awakening from his cryostasis. He vomits up white fluid. Feyora and the other Kryptonians ask him if he knows where he is. He telepathically reads their minds, and in doing so, learns English. He says, How long have I been asleep? Is it time to reawaken? Everyone looks confused. Wait, where's... John Jones is confused and now terrified. He flies out of the holding chamber and back up to the surface. He sees that it is totally barren. His home world is gone. He drops to his knees and screams. Cut to black. Continue to roll credits. End credit scene. A battered and wrecked world called Apocalypse. It is a fascist society populated by parademons. We see a man forced to his knees in a circular court. His name is Orion. Around the court, we see the guardians of Apocalypse, including Granny Goodness, Kalibek, and many others. Orion is on trial for returning to Apocalypse to incite rebellion against the current regime. Orion looks up at the highest chair on the court and sees a rock creature with red glowing eyes bathed in shadow. Orion screams, Empires fall! There are no exceptions! The rock man just looks down at him. One of his minions enters and whispers into his ear, We found it, sir, one of the mother boxes. He responds with a simple grunt. Orion screams up at him again, You sentence your own son to death! Have you no honor? Have you no soul? The rock creature says, There is no honor. There is no soul. There is only Darkseid. The end.